So today we're going to continue in Daniel, guess what? What chapter? 2. Awesome. So if your Bible is open, up to Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to jump right into the text because we only have a number of minutes before we have to wrap up for our second service coming after us. So let's get right into it. Daniel chapter 2, I'm going to read from verses 1 to 13 to start off with. Pause there, talk a bit, then continue on. All right. I have the scripture up there on the screen for you as well. Hopefully you can see that without squinting. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me. I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the dream, or the king, sorry. "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I am certain that you are trying to gain time, because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. But what the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. So things look pretty bleak for Daniel and his friends, right? Because they are part of these wise men in Babylon that have been ordered to be put to death, and it's due to no fault of their own. They received this death sentence when they weren't even involved in what was going on in the king's court. And all because the king became angry with some of his wise men for not being able to accomplish the task that he asked them to. Talk about frustrating. Have you ever had to deal with a situation that seemed like an impossible situation in your life? A boss that wants something done that can't be done in a certain time frame, perhaps at work? Or perhaps you have a parent that no matter how well you do things, it's never good enough. You try and try, but their expectations are just impossible to achieve. Or maybe right now in your life, you're in a situation where if you don't resolve it, the consequences are severe. Whatever the case, you're probably not facing a situation as bad as Daniel and his friends, where they were to be put to death. Talk about impossible. So the question for us this morning is, how is a Christian supposed to deal with a crisis like this in a way that gives glory to God? What can we learn from Daniel? How can we be a Daniel in the face of crisis? Let's continue on and see how Daniel deals with it. We'll read verses 14 to 16 next. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Dealing with a crisis to the glory of God requires wisdom. Freaking out, never gets you anywhere. Or does anyone have a story where they freaked out and it actually worked out in your favor? Anyone? Most likely not. Instead, Daniel finds a way out. He asks why such a harsh decree was given and seeks more time. Perhaps one of the reasons that the commander Arioch took Daniel to the king and the king responded favorably was because of Daniel's calm response that was both wise and tactful. And there was probably a little bit of Lord's favor involved there as well on Daniel's behalf. But think about this a moment. Daniel is a young man. How did he become so wise? And more importantly, how do we become wise as Daniel? Well, I'll tell you that wisdom begins with the reverence of the Lord God Almighty. Proverbs 9:10 says, as most of you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the fear that is spoken of here is not the kind of afraid kind of fear that we feel, but more of a reverence, an awe, a respect of God, who He is and what He is capable of. And the knowledge is not just a knowing about, but a knowing of. Wisdom ultimately comes from the Lord, and it comes to those in relationship with Him when we know God, those who know Him. Daniel had a relationship with the one true God, knowing His love, His power, His sovereignty, and His authority. And he had trusted in the Lord for his life so far, and for his eternity as well. Too often people only want God to help them like a superhero helps them, to swoop down and save the day, right? Well, God is not Superman. He's much more than Superman. He's not looking just to save the day, but He is looking, more importantly, He's looking to save you for eternity. And He has chosen to save us through His Son, Jesus Christ. You've received God's gracious gift of salvation through faith in Christ, in who Jesus is, God in the flesh. And when we realize the fullness of Jesus being God, all-knowing, all-powerful, and us having to stand before Him in judgment one day, we will have a reverent fear of Him, a respect of Him. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible tells us not to fear man, who is able to destroy only body, but to fear God, who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. So if you've never confessed your sins before God or asked for forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ, you need to. So be a Daniel. Seek wisdom by fearing the Lord your God. Daniel didn't cower in fear. He didn't try to defend himself by resisting the guards. He didn't flee. He didn't hide. No, he was a God-fearing man and put his life in God's hands. He trusted that God would give him the wisdom to interpret the king's dream. However, the fear of God is just the beginning of wisdom, and wisdom grows. And it grows as we humble ourselves. Proverbs 11, chapter 11, verse 2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. As we walk in humility before God, we grow in wisdom. Have you ever thought about this? And we grow in humility as our relationship with God deepens. As we grow closer to God, we realize that apart from God and the Lord's gifts, apart from His mercy, apart from His Spirit working in us, we are completely unable to accomplish anything that is of eternal, lasting value for the kingdom of God. You see, humility is not just deflecting attention away from yourself and put it on God. Humility is more than that. Humility is an honest recognition that apart from God, you are unable to do anything for the glory of God that has eternal value. That we are truly dependent on Him for these things and for the very salvation of our souls. We truly understand this. When we truly understand this, it will affect our behavior and we'll take action that puts God at the center of our life, and we grow in wisdom. As we continue in Daniel chapter 2, we can see how this is reflected in Daniel's actions. After Daniel found out about the situation, asked for more time from the king, what does he do? Well, let's read Daniel 2, verse 17. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. One of the ways God grows us in wisdom is when we humbly seek the counsel of God's people, our fellow Christians. Proverbs 11:14 says, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." It is always, always wise to get insight from fellow believers, especially ones that are longtime believers, more mature than us in the Lord, to discuss the matter with others who follow the Lord is wise. You see, we as individuals, we don't have the monopoly on wisdom and knowledge. God uses His people to help us make wise decisions. I've never been more sure of this as I've helped pastor in this church over the years. And I praise God for the godly elders and leaders alongside, that I serve alongside, and their wise words and guidance in this church. We help each other grow in wisdom and understanding because God speaks through us into others' lives. So if you're going to grow in wisdom and be able to deal with crises in a godly manner, you better seek the counsel and advice of fellow Christians. Be a Daniel by including your fellow believers in important matters and listen and consider their advice. Next, we see that God grows us in wisdom as we humbly pray to the Lord. Daniel chapter 2, verse 18. Hears them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. If you're a Christian, your need to pray should be obvious. It should be a given that you should have a prayer life. But is it worthwhile? That prayer should be something that should come after seeking the counsel of other Christians. Is there a benefit to our prayer life? To speak to fellow believers and then praying? Well, obviously, it is. And I believe it is for two reasons. One, when we talk things over with others, God uses that to help us know what to pray for. And second, I believe God wants us to be praying together in unity. So talking with others helps us to understand the situation better and helps us to pray in unity according to the will of God. At times, if we don't talk with others and seek counsel before prayer, we can, I believe, easily substitute and justify our own selfish will and desire, and our prayers might not be might be ineffective because we're not praying for God's will to happen, but rather our will. Does that make sense? So there is great power in prayer. And there is tremendous power in prayer when believers pray together in unity according to God's will. We see all kinds of examples in the book of Acts of believers praying together in unity and God responding to their prayers because they are praying according to God's will. In Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were commanded by the Pharisees not to preach in Jesus' name, they refused and went back to the other believers. And it says that they raised their voices together in prayer to God to seek to speak the word with great boldness. After Peter was arrested and possibly going to be killed, it looked as if there was no hope for him, a crisis situation. But in Acts 12:15, it says, "So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him." And it turns out that God miraculously freed Peter from prison. So God's people praying in unity is one of the ways that God has chosen to work powerfully for his glory in crisis situations. So be a Daniel. Pray with your fellow Christians. We see next that God indeed answers Daniel's prayer. Daniel 2:19. "During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision." So great, Daniel got what he's asking for. And he jumps up and goes right to the king. Right? That's what he does? No. After Daniel receives the vision, he responds another way that God uses to grow us in wisdom, by giving glory to God. So let's read Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. "Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, 'Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king.'" So Daniel gives glory to God by acknowledging that the Lord's complete sovereignty by praising him. Truly believing that God is the one who is completely sovereign is so important as we grow in wisdom and to have peace in the times of crisis. See, Daniel's faith, his belief, allows him to act calmly in the midst of his crisis. So be a Daniel. Glorify God for the things that he reveals to you and makes known to you, and glorify him before others. After Daniel prays the Lord, he asks to be taken to the king to tell him his dream. But notice the difference between how Arioch communicates to the king and how Daniel communicates about having the answer the king is looking for. Daniel chapter 2, verses 24 to 25. "Then Daniel went to Arioch, who the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon. And he said to him, 'Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him.' Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, 'I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dreams mean.'" The reality is that Arioch didn't have anything to do with coming up with a solution to the king's situation or problem. Yet he says, "I have found a man." So Arioch is trying to get a little bit of glory to himself, right? Now in contrast, listen to what Daniel says to the king, verses 26 to 28. The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you were lying in bed are these." It would have been a true statement just for Daniel simply to reply, "Yes, I'm able to tell you." After all, God did reveal this to Daniel and showed him what the dream was and how to interpret it. But instead, Daniel replies, "King, what you have asked, nobody can do. Not me or anyone else, but there is a God in heaven who can do the impossible." Daniel doesn't try to take glory for himself, but glorifies God to Nebuchadnezzar. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 7 says, "God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." When we walk in humility, trusting God, recognizing his sovereignty, you will be less anxious and be calm in the face of crisis. So don't try to steal God's glory. If we're to grow in wisdom, give glory to God. Give thanks to God. And have that inner peace within you. In the next verses, Daniel reveals Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the interpretation of those dreams. We're running out of time, but we're going to look back at these when we get to chapter 7 and 8 in the book of Daniel, because the visions Daniel has there relates very much to the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and it's to do with namely the coming kingdoms after Nebuchadnezzar, as well as the coming kingdom of God. So it's prophesying of the coming kingdoms. But let's close off with verse 48, what happens at the end of the chapter after Daniel interprets the dream. "Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him rule over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all of its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court." It's funny how some people think that when we benefit for God's work, it somehow diminishes or takes glory away from God and puts it on yourself. But it is okay to humbly receive blessing and goodness from our Heavenly Father. It's more importantly what we do with that blessing and goodness, that we don't keep it selfishly to ourselves, but we give thanks, and we also use it to bless others in our lives. And that's what Daniel did. Daniel asked that his friends be appointed over the province as well. So to sum up, be a Daniel by seeking wisdom that begins by fearing the Lord your God. Be a Daniel by listening to advice from your fellow believers, especially in times of crisis. Be a Daniel by praying in unity with one another. Be a Daniel by glorifying God for what he has done. And finally, be a Daniel by sharing God's blessing with others. Amen. Let's pray together.